magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All is yours. All is yours, Jesus. We worship you and glorify you. We praise you, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. We glorify you, magnify you, bless you, Jesus. Blessings and glory and praise and honor. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessings. We worship you, Father. Hallelujah. You're so worthy to receive praise. You're so worthy to receive praise. Father, we thank you for the outpouring. Thank you for the spirit of revival.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for the spirit that shakes the house in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
Lord, we thank you for long periods of worship and your presence and your glory sweeping through, Lord. Father, we glorify you, you and you alone. We speak your blessings. We speak this house filled with worshipers, Lord. And this stage full of psalmists, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that praise goes up to God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the days of the year. We worship you and glorify you. We bless you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We speak your worship in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glorify you. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you for presence. Hallelujah. Thank you for presence, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessings and glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. We're free from sickness, disease, abnormalities, those things that crush the normal world. We should walk free from. So therefore, when something comes to challenge, there's only one name. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you need prayer tonight, if you'd come and stand, or if you have someone that you're standing in proxy for, if you'd come and stand, if there's anybody. Hallelujah. Praise God. The rest of you can stand around these or be seated and continue to worship God. Hallelujah. What a presence. That presence there multiplied times and times over will bring revival. Can you imagine people just worshiping all through the day and all through the night? And we're going to have that. Psalmist singing. If that's your desire, you'll have it. If you pray for it and seek him for it, you'll have it. Hallelujah. Along with this great revival. Because that's all part of it. And he said, think it not strange. Don't think it strange. Concerning the fiery trial, which has come to try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you. He talked about that your faith, though it was tried as of by fire, was finer and much more precious than gold. Gold, it has a perishing point. If you send it in the sun, it'll perish. If you heat it up down here, it'll melt away. But what you've been given by right of the new nature, it doesn't have a perishing point. It doesn't have a breakdown point. And yet he says, think it not strange. Well, if we're not going to think it strange, then what should we consider? We should consider what surrounds us. Very few times do I ever, well, never ever do I seek to give him glory. The one who has come to try us, our faith is by fire. God's not the one doing that. But then again, I find sometimes it's an edifying process by which God opens up our spirit in kinds of ways where he says, okay, survey the world around you and get a clue. So the things that are happening, they're not strange, they're evident. And the only reason why you would stop and count what's going on around you is so that you can recognize all the more the validity of the battle. Isolation, and that's one of his primary targets, or primary modes of operation, I should say, our enemy, is to isolate you in your own world of the fight. And you know it's him while you're fighting. It's just that while you're fighting, you're so involved in trying to win your war that it's hard to take a few steps back and look and say, wait a minute, this is all a big spider web. We're all connected. If we're going someplace and we're calling on him for something as noble as an outpouring, we don't really count ourselves as noble as what the enemy counts us. Part of his deception is to try to continually keep a veil over our minds that we don't see ourselves in the brightness that Christ himself sees us in. And that's a big part of the enlightenment. That's a big part of you seeing him, because when you see him and you fall in love with him and you spend time with him and do whatever he asks you to do to come to wherever he's at, then some of the things that fall off of you is not understanding who you are, and then not understanding the battle. I was just taking a few moments the other day to rehearse with somebody in my living room what was going on around us. And it was quite evident that there was quite an attack. Well, you say, Pastor, isn't there always? Yeah, there is. But then sometimes it's like they regroup and try to come back. There's a great number of men in the church that have, and I'm not just singling out the men right now, but I could just think of a lot of men that have been under serious physical attack. Some of you were praying for Homer Sunday night. He was hospitalized for a little while. He's fine, but I haven't talked to him in the last couple days, although Rosie's been keeping me up to date. Rex is coming through, and he's winning. Satan really tried to bust him up a few weeks ago. But he's going to win, because he already has won. Hallelujah. Then Otto was standing for a brother in the Lord. And a lot more that we won't say, and different ones that have gone through it. But it just is evident token of this. He doesn't like where we're going. And he thinks if he piles enough stuff up against us, somebody's going to quit. We're not going to quit. We're not going to quit. Well, if you read the book of Hebrews and you find out that they were under such an onslaught, especially if you'll read, say, like 10, they were under, I mean, when he said, you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, he was talking about that they were losing because of the confession of their faith. He encouraged them. He said, keep up the profession or the confession of your faith, even though because you have been, he said, you've been made a gazing stock from all those who look at you because of everything that you've lost due to the persecution that has come against you. And he said, partly because you joined in, and then partly because you just rubbed shoulders with those that were going forward. In other words, they got in trouble not because of just their confession of faith that they had received Christ, but they were rubbing shoulders with. He said, partly because your confession, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but then also, it's real King Jamesy there, and it says, also because of your companionship, because you've made yourself companions with those who are going forward in Christ. So he doesn't like you, and he doesn't like your friends who love the Lord either. But they were going through a tremendous persecution, and they were their goods had been stolen. And I'm not talking about how Satan will come in, but I mean literally. Literally, because of the persecution of the church, they were coming in and confiscating what they had. But he said they took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. Well, there is a place in Christ where we can, in fact, in that same chapter, he said this. He said that we were to provoke one another. That word provoke really is strong. It has a, one side of it means contentious, but it doesn't really mean contention there, but it's that powerful. Provoke one another to love and good works. And part of that was in the next verse, it said not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the practice of some is. Well, what his emphasis was there is that when you come together and you circumvent one with the other, not that you sit around and tell war stories for the purpose of woe is me, but that you're able to provoke one another to good works and say, hey, there's a reason why we come together. There's a reason why we congregate. There's a reason why is because we're supposed to be comparing notes in the Spirit and saying, hey, there's a great big battle out there. I've been in one recently, but I'm winning. You've been in one recently. Let's pray for our brothers and lift them up. Those that are suffering financially or physically or whatever. And once you begin to see, if you can step back, and once you begin to see that big, how that all of the dots really do connect, that if you're really after something in Christ, if you're really after revival, He's got to try to stop you. But we win. Hallelujah. We win. Think it not strange. And usually He'll get people backing up thinking it's strange because they don't know what their worth is. A few years ago, you guys bore with me in my infirmity. There was a month after month. I mean, there was a sent one. I had a bunch of brethren come over one day and trying to get me out of the... And I'm never sick. But I had to take a hospital visit that day. That was... There was a trilogy. You know, Scrooge had his ghost that came. I had three that come within a few months' time. The first one was with... my buddy Rex, he was going down the road real good on his motorcycle, but he turned around to see me, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And if I hadn't had a helmet on, I wouldn't be here today because my head was hitting bang, bang, bang. And I don't know how far I went. I was thinking, man, I hope this ride, it stops. I'd already come off of that. And it didn't crush my leg. The bike didn't crush my leg, but I was just going down the road. And then I slid off in the grass and slid and slid and slid. And the ambulance people said, do you want to go to the hospital? I said, no. No, I'm fine. Other than some road rage. That was right after the new year, right about this time. And I was feeling good. And I took that ride down to Everglades City and coming through S-curves, all of a sudden it just come out. I didn't know even how. And I'm just going down the road and I'm thinking, I knew before I was going to crash. It's like in that moment in time, everything slows down. And I thought, I'm about to come off of this motorcycle and I'm going really fast. But it didn't kill me. It didn't kill me. And it didn't even break any bones. Praise God. That was one. And then just a couple months later, I blew out my chest trying to act young. Should leave it to Julio, right? The guy said, try one more contest. And I was at the peak then. I think I may have could have taken it. But man, when that third rep come up and it exploded, there was a lady and a man on a treadmill about from here to Matt. And they heard my chest explode. And it was an awful sight. It was an awful sight. And that was not long after the motorcycle wreck. And they brought me home. And I could have got an ambulance, but I didn't. And they took me to the hospital, and I was in the hospital all that day. And I should have had an operation, they said, but I didn't have to. Praise God. Hallelujah. What was the third thing? The gallbladder. That's when all the men showed up and said, we got to raise up our pastor. I was hurting. I had hurt all night so bad. Now, you ladies will come up. I'm going to stand over here. They say for those hours, it's almost like giving childbirth. And some of you will say, it's nothing like that, Pastor. But I've heard, and I don't know how they can compare it. All I do know this is if Dave Roberson would have been there and said, Bronk, you can make it. Hold on 5 more minutes. And if a doctor said, I can give you a shot to end it now. And I said, Dave, step aside. I need it now. Get out of my way. I was ready. It was over. I was ready. I had hurt for 10 or 12 hours. So bad that I wanted to die. I was like, and the guys were praying for me. And I was like, oh, I love you guys. You are the greatest elders in the world. Now just take me to the hospital. And I never had to have an operation. My gallbladder is totally whole. Hallelujah. But I say those things to say that he'll step it up at times. And one of those times I called Dave. I said, you know, what's going on? I said, I prayed about such and such even before I did it. And it's still. Because one of the things the enemy will do when things kind of go amiss, the first thing he'll do is jump on you. And he'll start saying, this is for a reason. And you've really missed God and you've done this. And if you'd have, you know, if you'd have done this and this and this, you haven't been praying enough, haven't been fasting enough, haven't been blah, blah, blah. He's got a long list that he can run at you with. Now, I remember he talked to me a little bit, and then some of the stuff, I mean, it all made sense, but it wasn't in that realm of anointing so much like I know him to live in. And then I laid down. That was right after the motorcycle accident. I laid down and Candy was laying there. It was a Saturday afternoon. I was just taking a nap and I needed to rest because my body was beat up pretty good. And I thought this thought, he'll call you back in just a little while or when you wake up. And I thought, well, no, that's not right because we've talked and that's it. And as soon as I woke up, within just moments, the phone rang and Dave called. And I said, wow, this is God. God's talking to me. And he said, Bronk. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, you know, when we talked a little bit ago, and I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, then I got home and he said, it was just like walking in and somebody changing the channel on your TV. And he said, I was doing whatever I was doing and the channel changed and the Lord took me into talking about you. And I said, okay, wonderful. What is it? And he said, you remember some of the things that were said, and he told me when they were said, and he said, this is the same thing that's happening. He said, the enemy has changed his mode of operation. He is no longer working against you because of where you're going to and where you're seeking of God. He said he is, and I'm trying to think of the phrase that he used, but in essence it was that he had amped up. He had totally changed. Everything that was familiar to me, as in understanding the fight, had, because of choices that I was making, it wasn't wrong choices, but choices to go in, that everything that I understood, my perimeter of understanding what the fight was, had changed. And the enemy had changed his whole mode of operation. He had changed it and amped it up. I'll think of that phrase that he used in a little bit. But this is the understanding. Think it not strange. When you're going forward, it's not a fault that brings him in. It's because you're going forward. And yes, we all have to change. And yes, there is a dying process in all of us. But oh, to Christ that we understand who we are in Christ Jesus. And oh, to Christ that we understand what we've been called to do. And because of what we've been called to do, there is something that's been stepped up around us even recently that we need to understand. And we call this place blessed. And we call the intercessors in full operation in Jesus' name. Pray for your pastor, and I will pray for you. Hallelujah. That's an equal deal. Hallelujah. But the intercessors make the difference. Prayer changes everything. Pray in the Spirit, and pray with the understanding also. Pray in the Spirit, but pray those prophetic prayers also that the Holy Spirit will bring to your attention. Use the mind of the Spirit as a launching pad to pray prayers of understanding for your brothers and sisters. God, we can't say enough about the prayer of the Spirit. And you know, we're not short or slack over there, but there's also something so powerful to be said about that mind that is built here that carries over here. And some, for whatever reason, and we could cite probably a bunch of them, but God really derives authority from you with prayers of understanding. And He wants you to pray the prayers of understanding. And He wants you to believe that they are prophetic prayers, because they're coming from a place where the Holy Spirit energizes you over here, opens up your mind so that when you're praying over here, one for another, you're not praying amiss. You're not praying, as Paul said, he said, I'm not beating the air. I don't want to beat the air. I want what I'm doing to be really, you know, I want, as Paul was saying, beating the air, he was talking about a boxer. I want my prayers to avail much. I want them to punch. I want them to hit. I want them to smack. I want them to literally debilitate the enemy when I speak. Hallelujah. So we are in a time that we should provoke one another to good works and to love. To love and to good works is the order. To love and to good works. And that's not through smacking each other and saying, straighten up, but it's through saying, come on, we can do this. Let's pray for one another. And let's provoke each other to be in church and pray for one another and find out it's all right to be inquisitive about the needs that are out there when you understand that there's an onslaught of the enemy. And he's fighting. And he's wanting to kill, steal, and destroy. But we have, hallelujah, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus the righteous. And we have a comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. We glorify you. We magnify you, Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. We speak life over these in these days. We speak increase. We speak, Lord, a coming down of the dominions, Lord, around and about your people. Father, we release life over your children and over the families of the Family Prayer Center. We thank you, Lord, that we go forth as a mighty army marching unto war, winning the battle that is in front of us. We do not beat the air, but Lord God, we thank you that what we do has a great summation of power and strength with it. We release your glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise and glorify you. We praise and glorify you. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. You are so worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Just magnify the Lord tonight. Jesus. We'll put something up here for your convenience, but you're free at any time, but we just encourage you to sit and worship a little longer and just thank God for our next breakthrough in the Spirit, where we're headed, our next level. Hallelujah. And then whatever the Holy Spirit puts on for us to worship with, and you're free to stay or go whenever you like. God bless you. We love you.